All right, Roy Matlack Jr. here, and we are going to be talking money and business as we always do, helping people to move forward in the right direction. That's what I've been doing for 35 years. Really, it's just about a plan of action to do things. But you know, the beginning of all success begins with recognizing that you might have a problem. You know, it's possible that you're in denial, and you know, that's why we have about 50% of the country right now. If they have a $500 problem, they can't pay for it. And so what we're going to do throughout today is we're going to start with some of the symptoms that might be going on that would maybe give you an idea that maybe it's time to say, you know, I think I got a problem. And I need to do something with it. And, you know, there's two things that I've always said, and this show's always about. It's the first one is you're not making enough money in many cases. And so if you're not making enough money, it's very difficult to save a lot of money if you're not making enough money. And so you might want to look at that, and we'll give you some ideas on that. And then the second thing is that you need to get control of the money that you are making. And so the edge is when we build a gap between what we earn and what we spend, and then we take that gap, that's the quality of life gap that we're able to, as the gap gets bigger, our quality of life gets better. And so with all that being said, what we need to do, though, is decide, do we have a problem? All right, do we really have a problem? So let me give you some examples of what might be going on if you have a problem. You might be complaining all the time about your job. Maybe you're complaining about it. You're saying, I don't like the people I'm with. I don't like the money I'm making. I don't like what I'm doing. And as a result of that, you are never going to be successful. And so the wake-up call is if you feel that way, if you hate what you're doing, you're never going to put the time into it in order to be great at it. And then at that point, if you're not going to be great at it, you don't deserve to make a lot of money. And so it's just a vicious cycle. You don't like your job, so you're not going to make any money, which makes you not want to like your job. And so the first thing that I would do if you're out there right now is ask yourself, do I have a problem with that job? If I do, why don't you start looking, start changing, start thinking about becoming a 2%er. Find something you enjoy doing and become a 2%er. What's a 2%er? Well, in most cities, you earn $300,000 a year. That's the top 2% of wage earners. And so if you can go out there and find something you like, that's step number one, and then make a decision that you're going to get great at it. And the good news is you get great at it because you like it. All right. And so it's not work anymore. So step number one is we got to raise our income. And how do we do that? We do that a number of different ways, but it's basically what you know, what you do, and the way in which you go about doing it. I always believe this. This is a small business show. This is a show about winning in business. And so the first thing you want to consider is a side hustle, you might call it, some kind of thing that will allow you to get into something you really want to do. And don't stay somewhere you don't like, because you're never going to be successful. If you don't like it, you dread it, you're never going to be successful. So number one, recognize if you have a problem. And that problem is very simple. All you do is talk about it. You hate it. You wake up every day. You don't want to go. You're sick on Sunday night thinking about it. And so that's number one. Number two is your finances are bad. And here's some examples. You've got credit card debt, and the credit card debt is getting bigger every month. That's a problem. Recognize it. You got a problem. If you've got car payments to such a degree that you have a hard time paying them, if your house payment is such, or your rent payment, that it really bothers you. I mean, it's like you're working your whole, you feel like you're working all the time for that. Or if you feel like that you're having money go out the door and you have no idea where it went, you probably got a problem. And so if you have that problem, what are you going to do about it? We got to get educated. See, what happens is once you accept where you're at, that's the beginning of fixing things. So let's think through this. It's a financial journey That's what we do. This show is a financial journey. I have a podcast. You can go to roymatlockjr.com. I think we've got over 20 shows on there right now that you can go and subscribe to it. This is not a listen once kind of thing and then forget about it and everything's going to be great. When you want to get ahead financially, you have to always be thinking about it. You got to always be educating yourself and finding ways to do things. And so if you have questions, we'll take those calls, and you can call this number while I'm on the air or off the air, 866-651-4848. For any questions you may have, we'll take those calls and answer those calls, either on air or off air, 866-651-4848. You can also email questions to radio@roymatlockjr.com, and start the financial journey. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through how do you fix some of the issues and how do you get out of the rut? And once you've recognized there's a problem, how do we go about fixing it? So let's start out the job problem. Well, there's four ways that you earn money. If you're going to go out there and become financially successful, you have to recognize what is the different ways that you earn money. The first way is you work for somebody. Now, when you work for somebody, that's okay. There's a lot of people working for people. They like that structure. They love what they're doing. And chances are they have the ability to move up, because if they're really good, employers want to reward you. We don't want to lose our best people. And so if I have somebody working, I want to do everything I can to keep them. Matter of fact, if they do a great job for me, I'm worried about them leaving. All right. And so, but what I learned about this is that most companies, they don't really recognize great performance. The way, in many cases, the best way for you, if you love what you're doing, to be able to make more money is go to work somewhere else. And you know what the first thing they'll do? They'll give you a raise to come over. We're in a job seekers market. You're in charge. So if you're great at what you do, you might just put your resume out there, find out what's going on if you're going the employee route. And I've read article after article to where the best way for you to improve your income is not stay at the same company, but move from one company to the next and keep upwardly moving everywhere you go. And so that's one way. The second way you can earn money. Now, what's the negatives of having a job? Well, the negatives are the structure. You're told when you get off work. You're told when to be at work. You're told how much money you can earn and different things like that. So that's the negative side. But for some people, they like that. They like the positives of guarantees, some benefits, and things like that. And if you do a great job, if I were you, I would put myself out on the market and just find out what is available for someone like myself with my skill set and my attitude and things like that. But one thing for sure, if you don't like that, find something you like doing, change careers, do something, but get settled in with something you love to do and then become a pro at it. That's the first way, is you go to work for somebody. The second way is you move into what's called the gig economy. That's the economy out there where you're doing it on your own. The reason you do it, in my case, I went that way because I don't want to be told what to do. I want to get up when I want to get up. I want to go to bed when I want to go to bed. I want to go on vacation when I want to go on vacation. I don't want anybody telling me anything when, where. I don't want restrictions. I don't want any of that. What I want to do is be my own boss, have my own time, do my own thing. That's what I like to do. Now, if you're that kind of person, you're going to have a hard time with that structure. All right, that structure will drive you nuts. And so what I would do is I would start looking at and say to myself, what is my skill set? What am I good at? All right. And then I would start taking that. It may be that the job you have, your skill set is you like the work, you don't like the structure. So maybe you'll just move right out of the thing you like already and just start your own business. How about that? And do your own thing. And you may become an independent contractor. Now, the positive with the independent contractor is control. You get to get up and go do your thing. The negative with the independent contractor is this: you don't have any structure. And if you don't have that structure, are you going to be capable of getting up and doing it on your own by yourself without anybody telling you to do that. Now, if you can do that, that's a great thing. For me, I don't have any problem doing that. I wake up in the morning, I get up early, I get busy, I do everything I'm supposed to do. Matter of fact, I've always said I'm going to play after I work, and so therefore, I've always done well being self-employed. What are some of the things you need to consider when you're self-employed? Well, the first thing is this. You're going to have to create your own benefit package. Your benefit package, would it be everything like health insurance, life insurance? You're going to have to set up your own retirement plans. You're going to have to do it all. And so you need to understand there's a cost with that. And so when you're self-employed, you need to be very focused in on that. Another thing that happens, you know, we get to, by being self-employed, we get write-offs. You know, if you are working as an employee, you get to write off your charitable contributions and maybe some of your home interest if you have a big mortgage or something like that. But as self-employed people, you can write off everything. You get to write off anything that has to do with your business. So one of the benefits of being self-employed is it carries with it great tax benefits. For instance, if you have a cell phone and you're an employee, you can't write that off. But if you have a cell phone and you're self-employed, you can write that off. If you are working in a business where you've got computers, of course, you're going to write those computers off. And so all these kind of things are the benefits of going that direction. So my name is Roy Matlock Jr. We're going to be right back, and we're going to continue down getting the job fixed. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back. And today's show topic is do we have a problem? Maybe we need the first step to fixing things is recognize we have a problem. And if you are that person right now and you're listening, you know, I try to help you win the money game. That's what I try to do. I do that. I've been doing that for years. And what I've learned over the years is there's always two parts of it. The first one is your income. You got to find something you like that you can get good at so you can demand a big income. That allows you to free up a bunch of money to save. Now, if you have a great income, but you don't have a great financial plan, then you're just going to spend everything you make, no matter how much you make. I mean, you've got Evander Holyfield went through like $500 million of income. So he didn't have that financial education in order to hold on to it. And so the first thing you need to do is recognize if you have a problem. That problem would include hating your job, sick and tired of being sick and tired every Sunday night. You're just, no, I can't do this anymore. So with that being said, what you have to do is find something you like. That's number one. And then once you find something you like, you decide, do you want the structure of doing something you like, working for somebody? And we talked about that, or do you go down the path of self-employed? The third way you earn money is you go build a business. You know, I went and down the path of self-employed, then I went down the path of building a business. Now, when I build a business, that means I have other people working for me. I go out and build a system. And the reason I did that is I wanted to have something that would outlast me, not just my income for my lifetime, but I wanted to have something I could leave behind. I wanted to have something that ran without me. I wanted to have equity. I wanted to have an entity. And so how do you do that? Well, the first thing is you find something you like. The second thing is you start your business. You may do this as a sideline. But the main thing you're doing is you're just studying and you're learning and you're getting really good at what you're doing. Then once you get through with that, then what you're going to do is you're going to start getting so much business. You're going to learn how to sell what you do, deliver what you do, collect on it, everything that goes along with it. And you're going to get so good at it, you're going to say, gosh, I can't get around to all the work that I've got, so therefore I need to hire somebody. And then you start bringing people in and you start hiring them to do different jobs. When you first start out, you're doing every job. Then after that, you start hiring other people. And then you start putting in place a plan for them, a work plan. Maybe it's in my case, what I did, I went through and I built a operations manual that kind of is in a written form. I looked at everything that needed to get done for a specific task or a specific job, and then I hired people eventually to get that done. I had administrative people. I have salespeople. I have all different types of people. I have, you know, a bookkeeper. I have a CPA. I have a lawyer. I have all those kind of things. So you set your business up, and anytime you set a business up, if you're out there right now and you're dreaming about owning your own business, you become self-employed, then you say, I'm going to be a business owner. You got sales, operations, you got finance, you got legal, and today the fifth category is technology. And so you have all those things, and then those are the different functions of your business. Then you look underneath there and you say, now what goes underneath the finance category? Well, I have to collect money and I have to pay money. I may have to manage cash flow, those kind of things. So that's in there. I look under the legal side. I have contracts, okay? I have, you know, employees that I have agreements with, have all those kind of things. And I have to work within the framework of the law, whatever it may be. You may have to get licenses and different things like that. If you're in the technology side, you got all your websites, and you got, you know, your customer, you know, communications, and you've got accounting software, all these different things that go in there. So you got technology, you got to have all that set up. Then you got your operations side. That's what? That's things like delivering the product, creating the product, going through and managing all the processes that go along with that. And then you got the sales side. You got salespeople, you got marketing, you got advertising, you got all this kind of stuff. So this is why most businesses fail. They never put together a system. And so what I would recommend to you is this: get involved in something you like. If you really like being in a unstructured environment, to where you set your own structure, go to work on your own. Take what you're good at, start your own business. Maybe do it part-time to begin with. Do something like that. That's what I did. I started in the financial services business 35 years ago, part-time. I got both of my licenses part-time. I worked part-time for almost 2 years. I was making money part-time. Every single month, I learned how to make money. And one day I said, you know what, it's time. And then I left what I was doing and I did it full time. And I never looked back. It's been the greatest decision I ever made. And so what we do is we start out on a part-time basis in many cases. We save our money. We get our finances in order, get our money right, and then we start that little small business. It could be anything out there. I mean, it's funny. I have a guy who's telling me that his one of his friends at one of these country clubs, they ask him, they say, what do you do? He says, I'm a garbage man. And he says, you're a garbage man. He said, yeah, I'm a garbage man. The guy's a billionaire. He did it by starting out as a garbage man. And now he has, you know, these trucks all over the place picking up, you know, garbage from businesses and all this kind of stuff. But that's what he tells people. He's a garbage man, and he's become a billionaire garbage man. And so any business that you get in, if you get really good at it, there's opportunities. If there's markets, there's opportunities for you to go out there and do it. And then lastly, what your goal is to be able to save your money and put it in a position to where you can live off the investment income. So the four categories are: you have a job, you move to self-employed, you move to owning a business, and then lastly, we talk about managing your money. How do we go about doing that? So now let's get started with the second part of it. So step number one is we recognize that we have a problem and we have a job problem. So if you're out there right now, do something about it. See, one of the things you got to realize is everything that I'm going to talk about is no good unless you take action. So today, if you're listening to the show, here's what you need to do. If you hate your job, stop moaning and groaning and do something about it. If you hate your job and you hate your pay, stop moaning and groaning, do something about it. That's what I tell people. Talk's cheap. Go do something about it. Get your resume together. If you want another job, go find it. Don't go to work for a company that's not going to pay you what you want, okay, at your skill set. So do something about it. Recognize the problem. Take action. Number two, let's get into the money side. If you've got problems with your money, it's going to give you problems with your life. Everything about it, okay, is a problem when you can't pay your bills or when you're in debt and you're stressed out and stuff like that. See, one of the things about getting your finances together, you'll have stress. But the deal is you won't have financial stress. Financial stress is probably one of the worst stressors out there. People get divorced. They have all kinds of problems as a result of it. They lose things. And most of the time in talking with people, the reason they have a problem is they don't know what they're doing. I mean, that's the bottom line. They don't know what they're doing, so therefore, they have a problem. So let's look at the financial journey. How does it start? Well, there's four basic elements of getting your finances straight. Four basic elements. The first one, and we call this the defense. What is the defense? The defense consists of basically four things. The first one is a budget. A budget. Setting up a plan to manage the money that you have coming in. Whatever amount of money you have coming in, a plan to manage. The second one is an emergency fund. The emergency fund is for a number of things. One of the reasons we have an emergency fund is we have an emergency fund to keep us out of debt. The third one, we buy the right insurance. And the fourth part of the defense is we're going to get completely debt-free outside of our mortgage. So when we come back, we're going to get into that. And my name is Roy Matlock Jr. Keep listening. I'm back, Roy Matlock Jr., and this is the Money and Business Hour. And if you have questions, you can call while the show is on or off air as well, and we answer 24/7, 866-651-4848. That's 866-651-4848. If you would like questions answered regarding money, call that number. And if you're looking for help with your small business, call that number, 866-651-4848. You can also email questions to radio@roymatlockjr.com. And I want to encourage you, go to roymatlockjr.com and get some of the downloads, how many works for kids. You can also subscribe to the podcast, and we will keep educating you. It's a journey. That's what it is. Don't listen once. Listen over and over and over again. Make it a habit, and then one day you'll start automatically doing smart things with your money. So the four parts that we have to deal with when it comes to your money getting started is the cash flow plan, the emergency fund, eliminating debt, and buying the right insurance. So let's start with the cash flow plan, you know, the budget. Well, I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter how much money you make, you can spend more than you make. There's things to spend money on that you just wouldn't even know that you could spend money on. But if you start making more money, you'll find out about them. And there's companies out there marketing to you all the time. So the only reason you're going to ever have any money is if you spend less than you make. If you spend everything you make, you're never going to have any money. And so you want to get ahead. And the way you figure out where you're at is the first step is you put together a budget. You take everything coming in, everything going out. Now, if you have credit card debt and car payments, then that means you are spending more than you're making. How about that? Spending more than you're making. And what you need to do is a statement of net worth. How do you do that? Well, you can go to my website and you can get the budget forms and you can get an idea of where you're at. You can download these forms, get them, put your money and you're spending on paper so you can look at it and see what's going on. And then start looking at your checking account, where the money's going through. You got debit cards, you got all this kind of stuff. Look at where you're going. It's going to take you an hour, okay, minimum, maybe a little more than that, to get a grip on where you're at. Then what you got to do is you got to start looking at how can we go about fixing it. So now let's set up a simple budget. Well, when we start out with a budget, there's in three basic accounts that we need to have. The first account is what I call a draft account. The draft account is where we put everything that is regular, we automate. What do I mean by regular, automate? Your house payment's regular, automate it. Your electric bill is regular, automate it. If you have car payments right now, automate it. Any kind of bills that go out on a regular basis, automate it. How do you automate it? I tell you, go to your banking online, set it up to where you don't have to worry about it anymore. It automatically comes out at the time of the month it's supposed to come out. You don't have to worry about late fees. Eliminate that. Automate it. It's going to take you a little bit of time to do that. But this account, all of your money comes in to your draft account. I call it a draft because they draft your account. All right, they pull money out. Now, also included in that is your long-term savings. If you're at a point to do that, if you're still in debt, you need to be getting out of debt first, then go into long-term savings. But the long and short of it is this. What you're going to do is you're going to set up everything that's regular, including savings, pay yourself first, coming out of that draft account. All of your income goes right into that. Now, let's say that you are married. We're going to have two more accounts. If you're single, you have one more account. So you got your draft account plus one or draft account plus two. Additionally, we're going to start working on the emergency fund. If you have no money right now and you've got debt and problems like that, first goal is to get $1,000, just $1,000. You have 50% of the population can't do anything if a $500 problem comes along. So we want to get $1,000 set aside. Ultimately, we're going to get 3 to 6 months of income. I'll tell you why you have three or why you have six. But right now, we're going to focus on getting $1,000. If you have $1,000, then that's one thing. Then we're going to work on debt. So with that being said, we now have our draft account. Then we have our future purchases that are going to be set aside inside of that draft account. So now what happens is there's going to be less money spent on the drafts than the amount of money that's coming in. And then we're going to look and we're going to say, well, what do we got to do to keep ourselves from going back in debt on other things? Well, we got to prepare to not have a car payment. We got to prepare for different types of maintenance. We've got, if we're going to do some vacations, we set it aside in there. And we have this piece of paper and it lists all the different things that we will have that occur, but not on a regular basis. So you put a little calculation in there. You say, well, I want to go on vacation. This is how much money I'm going to spend. So every month I'm going to be putting aside this amount of money is going to be in there. Then I've budgeted $200 a month, $2,400 a year for this trip I'm going on. When it's time for me to do it, I'll move $2,400 out of there and I'll pay for my trip. That way we're not paying for the vacation, all right, that we already went on today. All right, so we want to do that. Christmas, things like that would go in there. So you say, well, I'm going to spend $1,000, $1,200 on Christmas, whatever it is. That's $100 a month. So all these little things are accumulating. So that draft account over time should rise and fall based on things that are automatically going to happen, but they're not regular. We have our long-term savings. It's going into mutual funds or retirement plans, whatever it may be. We have our emergency fund, okay, that's building up. We're going to have that in a money market account maybe. That would be something either at a bank or you could have it drafted into a mutual fund. When I first got started, I put $50 a month in a mutual fund, $100 a month into a money market fund. That was my first savings program to be able to get on track when I started doing all this. So now that we've done that, we're going to have a weekly plan of spending. How do we do that? Well, we have, if you're married, you both have a checking account. And budgeted out of those budget forms are the miscellaneous things that you spend throughout the week, such as you go to lunch, such as you put gas in your car, things like that, little extra money in there that allows you to manage. And here's what happens. Let's say that's $200 a week that you have. And so now at the beginning of the week on Sunday, you move $200 to each account, $300, whatever the number is, depending on your income. And because it's already built in, you're then going to take that. You've got that amount of money. So let's say you have $300 that week and you go throughout the week and the beginning of the week, you start eating out, you start doing all that kind of stuff. And then you look and toward the end of the week, you're like, man, I'm running out of money. I think I have to stop spending because when it gets to zero, it's over. And I even recommend to people when you first start doing this, and I still do this every afternoon, I get an email and it tells me my balances on all my accounts. I want to know where I'm at all the time because whatever you focus on, you're gonna get better at. So now what we do then is we know that all we have to manage is $300 that week. At the end of the week, we have 50 bucks left over. Well, next week you might say, I'll just take 250 to get me started at 300. And before you know it, when you start managing it, you'll stop throwing your money away and you'll start seeing things happen. All right, so now what we've got is we have a spending plan. What is our spending plan? We have a draft account. We have a couple of weekly accounts. We have long-term savings going into retirement plans. And then we have our emergency fund. We're going to move to the emergency fund now. Why do we develop the emergency fund? The emergency fund should be 3 to 6 months of expenses. You know, even better than that, I like to have opportunity money that I could get to that would give me a year of expenses. All right. But opportunity money might be in an investment account. It's liquid that you can get to, but you don't plan on ever using it. 3 to 6 months, it would be in a money market account just to have easy liquid money. So why do we get three? Why do we get six? Well, if you're both working, 3 months might be okay because you both have similar incomes. If you lose one, you got the other, and so on. If you're the sole breadwinner and you're making all the money, you probably need 6 months, if not more, of liquid cash, because who knows, depending on how much money you make, how hard it is for you to replace that job. You know, the cool thing now is we got a great economy, and the economy is where you can probably get it replaced. But the long and short of it is this. What you need to be doing is you need to have an emergency fund. What's the emergency fund accomplish? Well, even though you're not getting a return, quote, on the emergency fund, you also are not going into debt when you have an emergency. So what you're doing is you're allowing that money to be there for true emergencies, job losses, medical things that happen. The black swan, whatever it may be, you do that. That's how we go about using the emergency fund. Now, the emergency fund also allows you to do some things. It allows you to raise your deductibles when it comes to your insurance. So let's take a look now. Let's go into the third area that we have to look at when we're getting our defense set, and that is getting your insurance in place. What kind of insurance do we all have? Well, we should, you know, by law, you have to have car insurance. Well, when you buy car insurance, you're only responsible for liability insurance. In many cases, having a car, you don't have to. If you've got cash set aside, you may decide, well, you know what? I'll take the risk, save the money, and not have the full coverage on the car. I'll have my liability. I'm going to raise my liability limits up. If you have any assets, you want to get your limits up. I would say minimum $300,000 of liability, but in many cases, in my case, I have what's called a personal umbrella policy that I have over and above that. And so what you want to do is you want to have enough insurance. So if somebody, you get in an accident or somebody falls at your house, you're not going to lose money, lose your assets because somebody sues you. So we're going to buy that. We're going to raise our deductibles because we have money set aside. So what we're going to do when we come in the last segment, we're going to finish this up. We're going to show you how to get out of debt, finish up insurance, and then we're going to talk about a plan to move forward. My name is Roy Matlock. I'll be right back. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're talking money. We do that every week, and today we're talking about recognize the problem. All right, do you have a job problem? Do you have a financial problem? And we covered at the beginning the job problem, symptoms of it, what you should do to fix it. And if you are just tuning in right now, this show, along with every other show, will be on the podcast. You can subscribe to that through Apple, or you can go to RoyMatlockJr.com, and you can subscribe and you can hear all of the shows. It's a journey, a financial journey. Every week, listen in, listen to the podcast if you can't listen to the show. And what will happen is I will teach you how to make money, control what you make, and get financially independent. Get your FIN number in place. Financial independence number. That's what we do. That's what this show is about. Is money everything? No. But one thing for sure, being broke is not great. And so what we're going to do is talk to you about moving the income up, getting control of the spending, and developing a life that is a quality life that you are living. Okay, you're living this life in a way that you want to live it. And so at the last part of the segment, we talked about emergency funds. We talked about, you know, setting up a budget. Now we're going to talk about buying the right insurance. So here's some things that you do on your insurance. when you buy home and auto insurance, if you have your emergency fund, raise your deductibles on that. You know, I had on my car forever, I've had $1,000 deductibles if I have full coverage. I have $2,500 deductibles on my homeowner's insurance because I'll take that risk because it will save me a lot of money on premiums. So it cuts my premium. I have an emergency fund. I can handle that if something happens. So I do that. I also raise my liabilities. I don't want to get sued. I would consider a personal umbrella policy, which you can get $1 million, $2 million, $3 million of coverage. You can get as much as you want, but it's very inexpensive. It's cheaper than an hour of a lawyer to get $1 million liability policy. And so if you get sued, you've got a whole legal team called the insurance company protecting you. So I would do that. Now, what about health insurance? Health insurance is another thing that can wipe you out. But if you have an emergency fund, that also allows you to raise your deductibles on your health insurance. I have a $7,500 deductible myself. That's a catastrophic plan. I would rather do that than have some low deductible, hey, and have to pay all this other stuff in advance. I would rather have high deductibles, have the ability to go to negotiate when I walk in to get something done. I just had a scan done, and it was a $4,000 scan. I paid cash, wrote a check at the time, and guess what? Cut it in half, 50% off. And so what I do is I raise my deductibles and I negotiate when I walk into a doctor's office. If I have some kind of procedure done, whatever it may be, I say, what's the cash price? I did that with physical therapy. Hurt my knee, had to go do some stuff, went in there and got the deal in advance. I negotiated in advance. What about life insurance? Well, life insurance is income protection. So let's think for a minute. How do you buy life insurance? Well, here's how you buy it. First thing you do is this. You sit there and you say, how much do I make and how much would my spouse and family lose if I were to die? Well, if you're making 50 grand a year, say your husband and wife, you're making 50 grand a year, you got a couple kids. I always ask people this. If something happened to either one of you, how much of that 50 grand would you want to have coming in? They say all of it. So let's look at what it would cost. Well, the first thing is this. You're 30 years old, you're making 50 grand a year. If you work for another 30 years, that's 50 times 30. You've got $1.5 million coming in. If something happened to you, your family would lose that $1.5 million if you never got a raise. So what we would do then is we would say, how much cash would need to be invested at a percentage return to take a lump sum if something happened today that would provide $50,000 a year for 30 years? So $1.5 million, it might be you need $700,000 of insurance or something like that. And then what I would tell you to do is always buy term insurance. Never buy cash pay insurance. Never save money inside a life insurance policy. It's a bad deal. Buy term insurance. Get the most coverage for the least amount of money. Buy term. Get a 20, 30-year term insurance policy. Now what you've done is you've got yourself in a position where something happens, your family's taken care of, and then take And a lot of the companies have riders that allow you to keep up with inflation. Always pay attention because as you make more money and your lifestyle goes up, your house payment, all these different things that may happen or inflation kicks in, you may need more. So you need to always review it and make sure you got the right amount of term insurance. So now what we've got a plan. We've got our budget in place. We've got an emergency fund. We're taking care of getting the right insurance, that kind of stuff. And now we got to, if we have debt, I'm going to give you the debt elimination plan. Debt elimination plan number one is get on a budget. Spend less than you make. Debt elimination number one. That's the first thing. Number two, save money. What do I mean by saving money? If you have no money, your first goal, pay the minimum payments, get $1,000 set aside. That will keep you from partially going back into more debt because you have a small emergency. Then we're going to line up our bills, smallest to largest, and based on balances, and we're going to pay minimum payments to everything. Then we're going to start knocking out the smallest balance. Why do we do that? We do that because if you've got seven bills and you got six bills and then you got five bills, before you know it, you're getting some momentum, you feel good about it, you're starting to get yourself on track, you're saying, okay, I can do this. The other option is, let's say you've got yourself in a bad spot. You are in over your head, but maybe you have equity in your house. Now, one of the things you can do is you can refinance that debt. Now, remember, if you do that and you're not on a budget, here's what's going to happen. You're going to blow up your equity, lose your equity, refinancing, consolidating, and then you're going to go right back in debt. So would I, for some people, would I tell them, hey, you got a bunch of equity in here, let's go ahead and consolidate it and make it happen? Yeah, I would do that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's getting yourself on a track that you can work with. So now, once we do that, we now have built the defense. The defense is set up. Now we can start setting aside money and put it into retirement plans, fully funding your retirement plan, maybe through work or do IRAs or do SEPs if you're self-employed. My kids had college funds that I was able to pay their college with. I did that when they were born. I started doing that kind of stuff. If you want to pay your house off, fine. You know, I tell people I've got a 15-year mortgage on the house. Why? Because I got a cheaper rate, not because I necessarily think it's so important to pay the house off, but what I wanted to do was get a cheaper interest rate. So now what we've done, we built that in. So how do you go about fixing all this kind of stuff? So here's what you got to look at, okay? The basics of getting ahead are raise your income and control your spending. So if you do that, you will start immediately moving forward. You'll start getting confident again. You'll start feeling great about life. You'll start moving forward. And the way you do that is you get on a habit of doing things that cause you to win. Winning has, you can look back and winning, people that win, they win for a reason. It's not luck, guys. It's not luck. What it is doing the right things day to day that will allow you to move forward. When I wake up every day, I have habits. You know, one of my number one habits, I think, that has helped me more than anything on every part of my life is I read. I'm always curious. I'm always looking for an edge. I'm always thinking about how can I learn more about what I do. I spent 35 years in the financial business. What do I do in the financial business? I educate people. So for me to educate people, I have to be educated. If I want to learn how to win in business, I have to be educated on business. So what do? Every morning I get up early and I read things. I read about business. I read about money. I read about technology because that's a big part of everything we're doing right now. And so as a result of that, I'm always excited. One thing that I can tell you right now is that the people that are successful, they're dreamers. They're the kind of people that look, they set goals, they think about what's going on every day. They're always excited about it. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and download some of our budget forms. Download the How Many Works book. Call 866-651-4848. We will send you and email you a copy if you're going down the road right now. 866-651-4848. I'll see you next week.